Let's cross over now to Ben Dror Yemeni. Ben Dror, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if we look at what is going on at the moment within Israel and within the region, Iran holding talks with Qatar on frozen assets coming out of the foreign ministry there, what is happening there?
We just have to listen to what they declare in the official newspapers, in governmental channel, TV channel. Just listen to them, and they are saying, "No, we don't mean to do something which will help this agreement to be achieved. Nothing." Just the opposite. I mean, what they published in the last 2 days, and not in one channel, but in newspapers, in assassinate Donald Trump, because that's what he deserves. Not peace, not agreement, not ceasefire, nothing of that kind. I mean, they say it again and again. The problem is just like many times before, we do not want to listen to what they say, but they say it publicly. They do not even hide it. And so there is not any surprise in the very fact that only yesterday it was Donald Trump that declared, "Oh, we are going to Doha, Qatar, in order to meet the Iranians," and the Iranians immediately responded by saying, "No, we are not coming." And then he repeated and said, no, we are going. Yes, we are going to meet them." And we know exactly what happened in Doha. Iranians did not show up.
If we're looking as well at Iran and the no need, their statement of no need for external intervention in the Straits of Hormuz, what do you see happening with regards to the straits, the opening and the security? What are the thoughts?
It's very interesting because actually what we have to look at is Oman. And Oman is, in a way, is double talking, because from one hand, they are part of the Manama Declaration from a week ago, when the foreign ministers of the Gulf countries met, and the declaration said that the strait is going to be totally open without any limitations on one hand. And from the other hand, even Oman is saying, "Yeah, we are going to charge the ships for environmental other reasons," something that never happened before. Mm-hmm. So Oman, in a way, even if Oman itself was targeted by Iran, right now Oman just in a way collaborating with Iran.
And they're working together. What do you think can happen in terms of external intervention in the Straits? What is needed, and is there the strength to enforce it to keep it open? Or do you think we're going to be going into a world where the reliability of using the Straits of Hormuz is not something that's going to be available to us?
No, right now, after the so many threats of Donald Trump, and after the, how to call it, I don't know, this agreement, this terrible agreement, this surrender of the United States, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. I mean, they can, and that's why we hear the Iranians saying we are going to assassinate Donald Trump, because actually they are laughing at him, because they can guess that he's not going to do anything. Okay, here and there, maybe some bombardment here or some things there, but he doesn't want to get back to war. He has his own reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's right. I think that he's making things much worse. To the United States, I'm not speaking now about Israel. I'm speaking from the point of view of the interests, the national interests of the United States. They made a huge mistake. But right now, it looks like that he cannot even stop this process of surrender to the Iranians.
Mm. There's a wonderful expression that when you put out a fire, you put out the whole fire. Not you don't leave 10 or 20% of the fire burning or smoldering so that it can come back even stronger. Do you think this is very clearly what is happening with the United States, what they're doing by not going through and finishing, not allowing Israel to finish?
Yeah, I think that somehow this is the case. They are still, I mean, maybe you know, just as you said, that 80% of the firepower was eliminated. But when they still have the 20%, they can do whatever they want. And that's exactly what they do because of the weakness of the United States. Let's not forget that we are speaking about a situation that you have public opinion, and the public opinion in the United States is totally against the continuation of hostilities. So leaders are supposed to do what is good for the people, but not to follow what the people say. And in that sense, it looked at the beginning like if Trump is a real leader, but eventually we saw exactly what happened. He was panicked only because of the public opinion in the United States. You could continue, Mr. President. You could continue, and you could defeat Iran. But you decided not to do it. So this is not leadership. This is not leadership. So even Chamberlain looks much better right now from comparing to President Trump.
To see the shift in the U.S. public opinion, as you mentioned, to predominantly, vastly be against the war and stopping, what do you think is lacking in the information getting to the ordinary American in terms of understanding what they are dealing with, and that if you don't put out this fire entirely, your children and your grandchildren will have to be dealing with it for generations?
Yeah, well, it's the same old story that Israel was forced to face again and again with this kind of public opinion, this coalition of from one hand Islamists, from the other hand of progressives, and all together that the outcome is that you have even in Washington, even very close to the White House, we look at J.D. Vance, the deputy, the vice president, we look and see that he is part of this public opinion, that he was against the war in the first place. And he deluded everybody that, the agreement that he actually achieved, because he was the chief negotiator on behalf of the United States. And it's a shame. It's a shame. What do we have in this agreement? $300 billion to Iran? I mean, what? I mean, why not to ask the Nazis to ask for compensations after what they did? It's just the same. So this shame on behalf of the superpower. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mainly because of public opinion, but the vice president Vance is part of this public opinion. He was influenced by people in Washington and outside of Washington that are totally pro-Iranians, and this is the outcome.
And this is what we're dealing with, and this is what Israel is going to have to deal with in the most real way, where when you're divided by an ocean, it's more comfortable potentially to have a shorter term opinion to serve, as you said, the popularity.
The point is that, let's say that the people who were against the continuation of the war, they were completely right. But you could continue with a blockade. Because it's only a question of few weeks until the collapse of Iran. Mm-hmm. But even that they did not do. Even that they did not do. So why did we go to this war in the first place if the outcome is surrendered? So, you know, yes, we have a problem, a real problem.
If we move on to another story now, Israel allowed over 100 Gazans to exit for medical treatment, but Hamas delayed them. Give us a little bit more information on that, please.
Well, it's something which is happening many times because actually Hamas is responsible to the suffering of the people of Gaza. But it's always like that when you have this kind of radical Islam. Don't say Israel. Don't say Israel, because the point is that wherever you have this kind of radical Islam, you have bloodshed and suffering and that kind of behavior. And the Hamas is no different from other radical Islam movements. They don't care about people. They don't care about people who are sick and need help. They don't care about them. Because what happened in the last 10 years, they used hospital as their headquarters. So there is not any surprise in the very fact that they are torturing their own people. So we have to look at it as part of a much bigger picture of how the radical Islam is behaving. They kill their own people. Most people that the jihad is killing since 9/11 until now, more than 80% are Muslims. Mm-hmm. They do not care about Muslims. They do not care about their own people.
They're caring about how they can use them in the press and on TikTok feeds to make Israel look bad and to blame Israel, in effect.
Yeah.
That's the useful
thing. But we have to admit that, at least in this in that sense, they are doing very well because of the public opinion that we just spoke about, because the public opinion from universities and with the huge funding of Qatar, the outcome is that people believe in so many lies against Israel, and this is the propaganda arm of the Hamas. Actually, what Qatar did and what Qatar for so many years funded.
And this is the real war that's being fought, not only in Israel, but around the world, to try and share the truth. But when we are such a small percentage of the global population, how do you outshout millions and millions of people who are seeing this feed and this very well-funded, well-run program to show absolute lies against Israel and make us look like terrible people to the world?
Yeah, and what we need is a kind of sobering from this illusions that you can blame Israel or Jews about everything. I mean, that's exactly what is happening right now. Yeah. I mean, and when you see what is happening in the United States, it's just regrettable. It's just sometimes unbelievable how Jews are treated and what is happening in the Democratic Party with all the new elected candidates in the primaries. It's quite terrible. I hope that the world and the United States in particular will not have to pay a terrible price for this process.
Absolutely, and please God not.
So, yeah.
I think just before we wrap up, a quick question. Can anyone build a coalition with regards to the upcoming elections without the Haredi and Arab parties?
It looks like it is impossible. So right now it looks like both sides are lying. I mean, Netanyahu is lying when he's saying, I want a big new coalition after the election. No, he is not. He doesn't really mean it. Okay. And when the center-left party is saying, no, we will not go with the Arabs. Most people...
Sorry to cut you off.
Most people know that they are lying.
Yes, most people know. Sorry that we have to cut you off. We're going to have to go to news. That's Ben Dror Yemeni on the Israel Port here on 101.9 Chai FM.